Our scripture reading today is from Exodus 2, 1 through 10. And today is love. So we're going to talk about God's love. So the story is the birth of Moses. So he goes, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she put him in a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Her sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" Start out with a story. A mother, she was putting her 4-year-old daughter to bed that night. This child was afraid of the dark, as a lot of children are about that age. So the mother, she turned the light out, and the child looked out the window and saw the moon. It's a full moon that night. She said, "Mom, is the moon God's light?" "Yes," the mother said. Then the child asked, "Will God put out his light and go to sleep just like we do?" The mother replied, "No, dear, God, he never sleeps." Then, out of the simplicity of this child's faith, the girl, she says something that gave reassurance even to the mother. "Well, as long as God is awake, there is no sense both of us staying awake." And off she went to sleep. I wonder if the Hebrews were feeling this way. Feeling as God had gone to sleep on them. Maybe that God's light had been switched off and wasn't watching over them anymore. That God had forgotten about them. You see, prior to the story, and after the story really, it's right in the middle. Life was really hard for the Hebrews. They were beaten, abused. Their Egyptian taskmasters forced them to do back-breaking work for the Pharaoh, to build up these monuments and cities. They were stripped of their honor, they were humiliated, and they were scorned. They were taken advantage of in every way and put down and spat upon. They were nothing but beasts of burden to the Egyptians, animals to use for their labor. And if one of them were to die under these burdens, it wasn't a problem to the Egyptians. They had more where they came from. But there's one area that the Egyptians couldn't stop. There's one thing they couldn't get away from. That's one thing the Hebrews had in abundance. They were having children left and right. And that's what the Pharaoh was scared of. He was threatened by these increasing numbers. Even though he puts more and more and more work on them, they're just growing. So Pharaoh, he began the first recorded Holocaust in Jewish history. He increased their labors, made it more difficult for them. And when that didn't slow anything down, he said, every boy that was born was thrown into the Nile River and drowned. That was the situation in Egypt at this time. I couldn't imagine how bad that would have been. How it must have seemed to them that God had let them down, abandoned them, forgotten about them. That God would allow this tragedy to come over them. God had forgotten about them. Are there not times in our lives where it seems God may have forgotten about us? Let us have a harder life than what ought to be. Make us go through struggles that we shouldn't have in our minds. Maybe it isn't as bad as the Hebrews had it. Maybe we're not slaves under constant pain and work. But sometimes, to us, these struggles are all we can take. We know what it is to feel afraid and defeated. That's one of the reasons I'm convinced that Moses wrote this scripture. later on in his life when he wrote this story down. He wrote it not just for a history lesson to give the history of God's people, but also to tell a story, to tell a lesson that we can use even today. The story embodies struggles of experiences that we all face in life, but it's also a story of hope. When it seems the Hebrews could take no more, when this final big act was being taken by Pharaoh, a child is born who is destined to deliver God's people out of the hands of their oppressors. In the story of Moses, we see the hand of God working out of his loving purposes, watching out for this tiny baby, providing for his personal safety, preparing him for his time in God's service. When we face our times of difficulty and think that God has all but forgotten us, we need only to turn to stories like these, full of hope, full of strategy and terrible times, and see God's working it all, God's control over it, and how God, he doesn't give up, and he keeps on loving. For one thing, we're reminded that God, he provides for us in ways we may not recognize at first. Was it just a coincidence that Pharaoh's own daughter happened to come across this child, that her heart would open up to him, or that Moses' own mother would be chosen to nurse this child until he was old enough to be weaned? And I like to add in that she was paid for it. I don't know how mothers go about that, but be paid to raise your child. I don't know. That sounds pretty great. Or was it coincidence that his own mother raised him, provided a mother's loving care, a foundation of faith of the God of Israel? And then later on that Moses would be raised in Pharaoh's house, educated beyond any of the other Hebrew people, had access to even the very throne of power in Egypt when he was of age. Well, let's say it wasn't coincidence that all this happened this way. It was the keeping love of God. God had a plan. He was in control the entire book, the entire time. In a book called The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom, she tells of a time in Holland during the time of the German invasions. One night she was tossing and turning in her bed as the planes came over, as the bombs were exploding in the sky. She couldn't go to sleep because of it. She heard her sister downstairs in the kitchen, so she went down to have a cup of tea with her. She and her sister, they talked until everything had quieted down. The sound of the planes had gone away, the explosion in the air. Everything was calm. So she went back up to her room in the dark. She reached out her hand to pat for her pillow to find where she was going to lay down at. Suddenly, she felt something really sharp against her hand. It was a jagged piece of metal about 10 inches long. It was a piece of shrapnel from one of the exploded bombs. She yelled out to her sister, "Betsy, if I had not heard you in the kitchen and came down," her sister cut her off. She said, "Don't say it, Corrie. There are no ifs in God's world." It was the hand of God, and we're in the center of his will, and in the center of his will, we are safe. Perhaps with eyes of faith, we can look back on our own experiences of life to see that God was working the entire time, working to provide for our needs, even when we thought he wasn't there. Maybe we didn't recognize it at first, but looking back, we can see it. Not only see that God provides for us in ways we don't recognize then, we see that God, he can prevail over all evil in our lives in ways that we can never imagine, in ways that we couldn't even dream to think of. How it must have seemed the evil won the day in the time of the Hebrews. They were enslaved, forced to do this unbearable labor. Their children were being slaughtered left and right. They had no hope. I don't know if anything could have been worse at that point. Evil surely had the upper hand. This Pharaoh, he won. But in the end, God, not Pharaoh, was the one who won the whole fight. They can look back and see God was there. God was raising Moses to lead the people out in their hardest time. You see, God, he cannot be kept down for long. That's the story of Exodus. It tells us God is the God of power and might. He will always triumph over evil. He is not the God of laying down and letting his people be oppressed. One way that God's will prevails over us through evil, through our lives. It's through the transformation of our lives. God, he takes our situations. He shapes it and takes what is bad, takes what is terrible, and makes it something good, makes some lesson come out of it, makes some ending possible that you would have never thought of. That's what he did on the cross. He took an instrument of torture, this instrument of death. Seeing the cross was terrible. You never wanted to see it. You never wanted to be close to it. You definitely didn't want to be on it. But he took that, changed it from this terrible symbol to a symbol of salvation and a symbol of life. God, he prevails over evil through faith of his people. The book of Hebrews tells us, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. It was faith that gave them the courage to do what needed to be done. You see, they believed that God's power was above Pharaoh's power, and they were right. They believed God, whose purposes were more powerful than their problems. They believed in God who would provide for their needs in ways they would not recognize. They would prevail over this evil in ways they could never imagine through their trust in him. We can never underestimate our importance of faith in our lives. Never underestimate the importance that faith plays in the work of God. God's all-powerful. He can do it himself. But he uses us to make the difference. He uses our lives for transformation and to help others. He uses our faith to shape the faith of those around us. There's another story a United Methodist pastor told one time. His name is Norm. Norm was visiting a person in his congregation. His name was Bill. Bill was gravely ill in the hospital. Norm was there when the doctor came in, looked at Bill and said, "Bill, you're not going to make it. You better get your things in order. There's no hope. Nothing left." There was no comfort in that. There was no hope. Doctor said very plainly, very bluntly. So after talking for a little bit longer, the doctor left. And Norm, he said he sat there with Bill. He sat there for a few minutes in silence, trying to take in what the doctor had just said. Norm, he looked at Bill and said, "Bill, I think it's time we get right with Christ. Let's figure this out." So there in that hospital room, Bill, he turned his life over to Christ. He turned everything over to God and said, "If this is the end, it's the end. But I put it all in your hands. There's nothing to worry about anymore." Well, the next day, Bill, he got moved to another hospital. This new doctor came in and said, "Bill, we're not going to give up yet. There is hope. We're going to try different medicine. We're going to try different therapy, different procedures until we make you better. We're going to do whatever it takes." Norm, he went on to tell, he said, "You know what happened after that? Bill got better. There was hope. He was healed. He turned it over to God, that terrible struggle of being told he wasn't going to make it. And God healed him through that." Someone once said, when you have nothing left but God, then for the first time you become aware that God is enough. That's what those Hebrews discovered, going through that terrible time. He provides for us in ways that we may never recognize. God is enough. And God's light, it never goes off. If you'll pray with me. Lord, thank you for all you do for us, for your unending love, for being the shepherd that takes care of us no matter where we are in life. And Lord, thank you for never turning your light off, for always watching over us, and let us sleep soundly at night, and to go through the days putting our worries on you. You who is all-powerful and almighty, and working through our situations, even though we don't recognize it. Lord, open our eyes to look back on our life, and to see this grace you've provided for us, and to look forward and follow the path that you've laid out for us. Jesus, now I pray. Amen.